Oh, Alan! This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Oh, Alan! This morning, at the breakfast table, and we are just finishing our breakfast now, Reverend Dr. Ellen Jeremini told us of an experience that she had. When she was a child, she learned a catechism in church, and she learned it very well. And it was something to the effect that she was a sinner and unworthy of entering the house of God, and that yet if she would speak her word, she could be healed. And so this sinner came and told us this. She came and told us this wonderful, wonderful news. And she reiterated an iteration that she had been iterating and reiterating all of her life. That means repeating, you know. And she's been repeating this all of her life, subliminally, unconsciously, unbeknownst to her, that she could not enter the kingdom of heaven, that she could not enter God's house, that she could not enter things because she was unworthy. This was something she learned in the church, that she was an unworthy sinner. Well, if she was a sinner, she'd certainly be unworthy. But I don't think she's a sinner either. She is an unworthy sinner. Now, Ellen has been working with the University of Healing now for the last 3,000 years and is a very competent, capable, responsible, remarkable, active, fantastic woman. But if in her unguarded moment the thought comes up to her that she is a sinner, not worthy of entering into God's house, wow! Wow! That's heavy duty. That's heavy duty. Now, it's heavier duty because of the change Ellen made in her philosophy. Ellen made in her philosophy the change that instead of God's house being outside of her, now she has God's house inside of her. That she is God's house. And if she still has in the back ages of her mind that thought that she's unworthy to enter God's house, that means she's unworthy to go to the presence within herself. She's unworthy to go. That's why she has such difficulty, as people sometimes do, going into the presence of the divine, of talking to the divine, of sharing with God, of sharing with their divine self, because they feel they're unworthy. Now, this seems to be something that people who are of a Catholic background have been trained in, although they're not alone. The Lutherans and the Methodists and everybody else have been trained in stuff similar to that. The Jews, too, my gosh, who could enter the temple? Just the priests. None of you heathens come in here. I mean, sure, you're Jews, but you can't come in here. Only the priests. And who can go behind the Holy of Holies in the church? Just the priests and the ministers, you know. I mean, people, even Protestant people are reluctant to go up on the platform because that is some sacred area where the minister speaks the word of God, you know. My goodness sakes. You see, we've made such an icon out of these things that they no longer are useful to us because we have no use for them. They just represent what we're talking about. They're not what we're talking about. So, if Ellen, in her long training of knowing she's God, knowing she's wonderful, knowing she's fantastic, knowing that her body is the temple of the living spirit, and every organ, action, function of her body is whole and perfect, and everything is good and like that. If she can come up with that sort of a thought in an unguarded moment, as she said, before she realized that she was awake, where she usually says what?
I'm one and perfect, honest in divine order, alive to me in divine order and peace.
All my ways are peace. That's what you said.
Oh, before she goes on the walk, yeah.
What's that?
Before she goes on the walk.
No. The thing is, that you don't do it till you go on the walk?
I say when I go on a walk, all my ways are peace and all my ways are peace.
But you don't say it when you first get up.
No. When I go on my walk,
well, apparently, it's good to say it when you first get up, too, if that's the kind of thought that's going to be wandering in the back of your mind. Okay. Because those kind of thoughts can utterly destroy us. Not that there's a big deal about it. I mean, what's there to destroy? But it's just your own feeling of benefit. Now, you're saying about Sylvia Mostrom and how Sylvia Mostrom has always been such a very charming, delightful lady, and that in recent years, after her partner Monica Egli passed on, now Sylvia Mostrom has taken over the program by herself, and she is doing marvelous. She is acting like a general. Before, she was acting like a lieutenant, taking orders from the boss and following the program and enjoying it very much. And Monica was certainly a wonderful general. But when Monica left, then Sylvia had to take over as the general. And taking over as the general, she has just done a marvelous job. She has shown talents that we had never thought were there, but she is just such a glorious, beautiful person because she is so self-confident and she is so happy with what she's doing. Now, this is what happens to all of us. As long as we keep Jesus as the general and we're the lieutenant, we don't stand on our own feet. But when Jesus goes so the Comforter can come, then we stand on our own feet and we become the general. We become the boss. We become the honcho. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Or are you going to be like Ellen, have these worms crawling out of the back of her consciousness telling her that she can't enter the house of God? My goodness sakes, that is heavy-duty stuff. Really heavy-duty stuff. But it's in all of us. At some point in time, all of us have gotten a spanking from our mother or father, and they said, "You make me wonder if you're worthwhile having you," you know, or some silly thing like that. And it becomes an issue in our mind. It becomes so strong. A parent can never lose their temper with their children, because in losing their temper, they lose their respect. And in losing their temper, what happens? The children take that as a mantra all of their life. Now, Ellen didn't know that in the back of her mind she still had this thought that she was unworthy of entering the kingdom of heaven. She didn't realize she still had that thought. And she didn't realize she had that thought when she was telling me she had that thought. Because it was so ordinary and so common and so part of her background. We do these things to ourselves. We do these things. I was a Boy Scout. And the Boy Scouts code is something that I don't perhaps recall it exactly, but on my honor, I'll do my best for God and my country and all that sort of stuff. And there's a little boy, an Art Lincoln letter, kids say the darndest things. And Art says, "Okay, what do you do when you go to bed?" And the little boy says, "I say my prayer." "What prayer do you say?" "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray," and then he got lost. And Art said, "Oh, what do you say?" He said, "Just a minute. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to you. I pray the Lord my soul to take." It's there. It's there. But not up on the surface. It's there down below, where it does the most interesting things to you. And this is what happens to us. We have planted these seeds in our body, in our mind, in our thought, from when we were children, of limitation. And what a thing for a child to say when they're going to bed, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Surely there can be great poets, great lovers, great positive thinking people who can come up with childhood prayers that are more significant than that, and then pass them around. make them available to all the children of the world, and make it become, now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. You know, and it becomes a mantra for the world. And little children and their prayers at bedtime. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. Why do you pray the Lord, your whole soul to keep? Now I lay me, I'd be just making it up as I go along now, but now I lay me down to sleep. I walk with God in me, my memories to keep, or something else, or my joy to my harvest to reap, my love to give me joyous sleep, or whatever, you know. I mean, you can work up all sorts of good things. I'd be really interested to see what somebody came up with on that, because that'd be kind of fun. But a positive group of words, and you want to be very careful, because if I were to say something now, that wouldn't be a thoughtful thing that would consider all the possibilities of positive thinking and joyous thinking, of wholeness and goodness, and knowing that you're not protected by God, because there's nothing to be protected from. You're enfolded in the loving thoughts, in your unconditional thoughts, you know, in your unconditional love. I am enfolded in God, in the unconditional love of the allness of the universe, and da da da. It's very impersonal that way, you know. It takes away some of the tenderness and the sensitivity and the personality, personalness of prayer. But you see, these are things that are engraved in our body and embossed in our body, and they're just so deeply put there that we don't know they're there, and we don't need to know they're there. But what we need to do is to have our mind always be on top of it. When Ellen thought these thoughts this morning and it came to her consciousness, her immediate thought should have said, "Hey, that's ancient history. Now I know the truth about me, and that's what I believe. I believe I'm God. God I am." Did you ever say that, Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
I am God. God I am.
Yes.
And you see, so this is what we must do. We must immediately, whenever these things come to our mind, say it. Now, this never happens to Sylvia, because Sylvia doesn't tell me any of these things like that. It never happens to Ingeborg, because Ingeborg never tells me anything like that. It never happens to me, because I never tell me anything like that either. I'm already on top of it, I think. It happens to Ellen, because Ellen is such a outgoing, free-thinking person, that whenever she has a feeling or something flowing through her consciousness, she lets everybody know about it. And that's both good and that's bad. It's good from the point of view that then it's out and something can be done about it. It's bad that it hasn't been taken care of already. Okay, but you see, this is important for all of us. And it's something that all of us want to be able to pay attention to. And if we don't pay attention to it, what's going to happen? That's what our real belief is going to be. You put all the wonderful chocolate frosting and fudge frosting and cream frosting on the old ideas, and the old ideas are still there. The old ideas are still there. The old ideas, can you imagine the old ideas in some people's religious upbringing that says they can't dance? And yet, dancing was a definite part of the Bible throughout all history. Dancing is people's way of showing joy, showing hallelujah, showing praise and worship for themselves and the world. That people shouldn't sing, my goodness, sing unto the Lord, all of his voices are good and beautiful, yeah. And you should not be joyous, you should be sad. And what is everything? Everything in life is a graduation. Whether it's death or birth, whether it's our years that we're counting for our birthday cakes and our birthday parties, or whether it's our movement from one place to another, it's a graduation. The little boy is sitting on the floor, and then 2 minutes later, you turn around, there he's walking across the room, and he had never walked before, you know? I didn't see you get up and take your first step. I didn't see it. As though that's a monumental, and it is. But you see, this is a graduation. Life is a great joy. And moving from dimension to dimension is a graduation of great joy. So be careful. Be careful what sort of things you have locked away in the hindermost part of your mind. And remember to say, today is the only acceptable time. Now I live. Now I am the fulfillment of everything good and beautiful and wonderful. And so it'll be. But be careful. Be careful. If Monica had not gone, Sylvie might never have taken over as general. And if you don't let your old thoughts leave, as wonderful as they were in their time, and you march forth now, triumphant, successful, fantastic, who knows, you know? Who knows? Your mommies and your daddies had to go. Your sisters and your brothers had to go. You say, well, they're not dead. Yes, they are. They're all dead. The moment you left their consciousness and started out on your own, the moment you took your rucksack and left home and said, bye, where are you going? I don't know. Don't you like it here? Love it. Well, why are you leaving? Because there's something out there I haven't seen yet, you know? But it's comfortable here, and everybody is so nice to you, and your daddy makes enough money, he feeds us all and takes care of us, and mommy likes to wash all your clothes and take care of all those things. All you have to do is just enjoy yourself. But mom, I gotta be me, and I don't know who me is. I've always been taken care of by the family and by everybody. I don't dislike you. Can I come back when I want? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, then let me go. And off you go. And you take that little scissors just before you go. And you cut the apron string. And lo and behold, your mother is free too. And your father is free. And your brothers and sisters are free. And if they hear from you, great. If they don't hear from you, great. Where'd she go? She went to China. But they got telephones over there. Yeah, 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 but she hasn't got enough money saved aside to make the call, you know. But she can make it collect. Yeah, 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 but she's not going to make a collect call. She's not going to say that she's not a success. She's going to make a buck or two and then she'll call. Uh-huh. But you see, we left the past behind, all of it. All the limitations and all the success. And we move into the glorious present in which we're living in right now. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.